What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Okay, my friends. We are back in business here to chit some NBA finals. This is Bolt Brady and his bro. Let's welcome in Bolt.
Well, myself and some of the listeners would like to thank you for carving out some time today to record the podcast.
You're welcome. Yeah, tight schedule here. I made it work for
you. That's what I'm told. That's what I'm told. Tight schedule, but we have to make sacrifices.
Sure do.
Why? Because you got all the summer camps.
I don't know. You name it. You know. Yeah, everyone's home. There's no school or anything. So, but you and I got a little personal time in over the weekend for a member guest golf tournament.
Yep, we sure did. That was a blast.
Took a couple good night's sleep for me to feel normal. I mean, I feel fine, but I guess maybe one more night and I'll feel like I usually do.
We had some of the chow. The chow was good, but but you and I really aren't the seafood fans. So a couple, one of the nights I had to, we took the Uber home and I had to call the Domino's to meet us at home.
you came over, you're like, have you had that rice yet? I'm like, no. You're like, don't touch it. There's like old shrimp in it or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, it has all this seafood in it. Well, because I was like, oh, there's some rice. I can eat that. That'll be cool. And then I'm like, ooh, I don't know what's in there, but
I think I'm good with about 15 White Claws and a couple Hawaiian rolls here at this point.
But everyone else, people that enjoy seafood, you and I just aren't the biggest seafood fans.
So. No, no.
So we'd go for the $8 Domino pizza, and that thing got wolfed down. Actually, we got the what is it? The $7 each, a medium for two. And then there was only a few slices left over for the next night, and those got chomped the next night. I think I actually had some for breakfast the next day.
Yeah, the cold pizza.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like in the garage fridge. Like, where's that at? I'm like, it's out there. Like, oh, good.
Let me put a little honey on top of it and microwave it. Mm-mm.
Yep. But that was good. Good little weekend for ourselves. A little golf.
And the best bet hit, too. The first game that we gave out for people. If you recall, it feels like it's been a little while. But before the series started, the -8.5 Nugs.
Yep. I was wrong about game one there. I thought they might hang coming out of the gates, but they couldn't figure it out game one.
Mm-hmm.
They waited till game two.
But it's not your boy Jimmy Bucks.
No. I mean, Denver actually had a pretty good control in that second game.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, first, Big Max comes out firing, and he hits four three balls in the first quarter. And I can't remember where I was, but I wasn't watching it live. I was just checking the phone, and I'm like, whoa, slow this down a little bit, because they came out firing. And then the Nugs go on like the 40-14 run. And I go, there it is. Good night. Mm. And then the Nugs let him back in it. That was incredible.
Yeah. Jokic was getting a lot of points for himself, but he wasn't getting the assists going.
Right. So anyway, he got the triple-double the first game, because that was another best bet that we gave out, that he averages a triple-double. And then the second game, so right between the two games, he's only missing three assists right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said before it started. I go, it's going to come down to the assists, because he's so big, he gets the boards, and the points is a pretty no-brainer as well. It's whether or not he's going to get those quick little dimes. I love that one-hander when like they throw it to him and he never – it doesn't touch it with two.
Dude, is he auto in the paint? I mean, he is automatic when he gets it down low there, and he just does that little shot that you're talking about, just a little flip.
No, I'm talking about when someone passes it to him and he catches it with one paw and it never touches the other hand.
Oh.
He passes it with the one hand before touching it with the second hand.
Okay.
So it's just like I guess they call it a one-timer in hockey. It's like the boom, boom. It's like the defense can't even react to it. Like it comes from like the left wing. He's at the free throw line, and he just one hand taps it to the guy on the block.
Oh, yeah.
It's sweet.
Well, he's money in the paint. Like, I was watching, I'm like, I don't think this dude misses. Like, when he gets it down in the dotted line, you know, like where the charge line is, if he gets it anywhere remotely close to that line, good night. 2 points.
Yeah. It's almost like a little awkward flailing back sometimes, but it's like he always hits it.
Oh, like literally 95% of the time, he's knocking her down there.
Right.
Our friend, the Grant Man, actually, he went to the game again. He sent the video of the crowd before. Holy cow, were they going nuts. D-Town was rocking, but the Nugs let him down, and it wasn't Jokic, obviously. How about Pope? Dude, do you want to foul some more people when they're shooting the three ball?
Yeah.
Dude, I heard today he fouled to the point where he gave them himself 14 free throws because he fouled three guys on three-pointers. There's nine free throws there because this guy doesn't know the basic fundamentals of not running into a jump shooter. Holy cow, buddy.
Yeah.
You're in the NBA and you're coming at someone flying 1,000 miles per hour. Like, break it on down. Let the guy fire it away rather than, you know, fouling him, putting him on the free throw line. That was a joke. That was super frustrating.
I think he got Jokic like the elbow tap on that one. You know, it was from the three.
Yeah.
It's not smart. But yeah, you said our boy was there, and then one of his boys, Big DiCenzo,
right.
goes, I'm not missing out on this thing coming to Denver.
Right.
So you want to say where his seat was?
Well, you were going back and forth, so I don't know if that was legitimate or not. Was he literally on the very top row?
Well, yeah, he sent a picture, and he's as high as you can get. And was it for $750?
$750, and he's married, so I think you might have thought that was for the two tickets, and I go, no, that's for the one ticket in the nosebleed. $750.
Would you pay that just to say you're there?
Dude, because you can't, even if you know every player on their team, you still wouldn't know who's who because you're so far up.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, like a Warriors game, we were up top, and it was like the Sprewell era, and you're looking at the Jumbotron the whole time.
Yeah. No, it's silly bird.
The one thing you can see, kind of like a football game if you're up high, is you can kind of see things develop, but yeah, you don't know like the guy's number.
No. It's not worth it at all. I mean, especially now when the TVs are so legit that you feel like you're right there. There's no way I would pay $750 to be up in the nosebleeders.
Plus parking, plus a couple brews. I mean,
plus an hour and a half to get out of the stadium.
You're like, that was legit. I saw my squad.
There's some people that would do that, though. That's all right.
Yeah. So, I mean, game two, when Denver got control of it, then it came down to that start of that fourth quarter. And then it was Big Duncan Robinson's turn to kind of lead the charge.
Yeah, he fired up the two threes right away.
I think he had eight in a row for him. He had 10 in the quarter, but it was just kind of just the momentum shift.
Well, so here's the thing. It's incredible. Are you ready for this stat? Okay, so during the regular season, the Heat were the 27th worst three-point shooting team in the NBA, hitting 34%. Okay. Now in the NBA playoffs, they're number one at over 39%. And in game two, they hit 49% of their three balls.
Mm. Yeah, it was 17. What was it for?
Was it
the 17 for 36?
Yeah, I mean, your
check
math.
My math.
Yeah. But you hit 49% of three balls in the NBA, you're going to win the ball game. So that's just been what's been going on with this squad. Like if they hit their three balls, I mean, that's basically most teams. But even Denver shot 37% from three ball. So they still shot it well, too. But 49%, and then both teams from the free throw line were lights out again, too. So might be a little foreshadowing to the best bet a little bit later.
Mm.
We'll get back to her, though.
Yeah, I mean, Miami, they pop into that zone, you know, and that's kind of what throws things off sometimes is what people like to speculate on. I mean, Denver's seen a bunch of different things this year. I'm sure they can handle some adjustments there, but it kind of took out Murray, and Porter Jr. really got taken out of game two.
Well, big Porter Jr., 1 for 6 for the three ball. Statistically, like talking about the zones over the NBA season, the Denver Nuggets were actually number one team against the zone in the NBA. But yeah, I mean, guys aren't knocking down shots. I think they just got fat and hungry again. They're like, this thing's over with. I mean, they were rocking once again. And then just to let the team come back on the road, Jamal tried to get it going a little bit late there again.
Yeah. I mean, Jokic ends up with like, what, 41 or something?
Yeah, 41-er.
You got to back 10 off that and then get the assist up to like the 10. So just so he doesn't get as winded and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's probably their strategy. They're like, listen, you know, we'll let this guy go one-on-one and wear him out a little bit.
No, yeah. I mean, dude, every time like someone goes off like that, like they show the win-loss record. It's never as great as when they have like a more real, well-rounded game.
Nope. That's totally true. How about this? The Heat entered the playoffs 125-1 to win it all. It's the longest odds since the 1976 merger. I mean, that basically means loads of people thought the Heat were going to win it. But I got a stat that goes against the Heat big time here. Game one winners, which obviously was the Denver Nuggets, wins the finals 70% of the time.
Oh.
Yep. And so I kind of did a little research here and I was like, huh, I go, where was there a squad that was about minus 200 to win at the finals? Because that's what the Nuggets ended up being, minus 200 to win this year's finals. And so I went all the way back to 1991. You could probably guess one of the teams that was in that finals.
Mike J.
Yep. I give you serious props if you can tell me who he played. The Bulls played 1991.
Was it the Lakers?
Ooh, nice job. It sure was. Well done. It was the Lake Show versus the Bulls in 1991, and the Bulls were actually minus 200 to win it against Big Magic, and it was MJ's first finals. So I took a little gander at it, and the similarities here, or that I'm the possible similarities, is Chicago won the first one, and then the Lake Show wins the second one on the road. So you're like, we got a ball game here. And then MJ goes, no, we don't. And they win the next three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Peace out, 4-1. So, you know, we still have the possibility for it. So I think the Nugs are favored by 2.5 going into this ball game. Well, when the Celtics came into town to play Miami every game, it was at least -3 each time. So that's kind of interesting. They're not even giving the Nugs as much props as the Celtics. So what do you think about this game that's coming up in Miami?
Yeah. I mean, they space these things out so much. It's like you really got to wait for them to get back in action.
Oh, it sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get a game going here. Holy cow.
Right.
I think Denver bounces back here. I mean, it's nice to go home and get the home cooking in the crowd. I think they'll adjust to what happened in that fourth quarter. I still think the Heat will get another game out of this somewhere.
Yep.
I mean, it might be 2-2. I don't know if Denver will get both down there. And they don't go 2-3-2 anymore, right? They go 2-2-1-1-1, I think is how they do it again.
2-2, yeah. 1-1-1, right.
Because they used to go the 2, then the 3 away, but they thought they kind of don't like doing that anymore.
Yeah. So, sorry, I was cutting you off there. Go ahead.
Well, I think Denver comes out and rebounds for this next game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I think I mean the Nugs played good. You know, I mean, it's just that the Heat were on fire. They started the game on fire, and they ended on fire. How about this? How about in the fourth quarter, the Heat shot 68%. Okay, and I mean, what would you consider like a good shooting percentage so people have a reference here for that? I mean, 50. Like if you shot 50%, you're
balling.
Yeah. I mean,
if your team's around over 45 as a team, that's pretty darn good.
And they were 68%. Mm-hmm. So basically, they were on nuclear fire and barely won the ball game. So,
but yeah, I mean, they were on fire, and then Denver just looked sloppy, you know, especially those first like 8 minutes. They couldn't even get like in an offensive set. It was just turning the ball over. It wasn't good play there by them.
Well, it was the role players.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, actually, Jamal, I think, kind of shot shitty from the field, too. But dude, the Joker's like, come on, guys, let's get this going.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
And then Malone, you know, the coach for the Nuggets, kind of comes out in the press and kind of lets him know that that was crap and the effort was crap.
I think he was kind of pointing the finger there at Big Porter without saying so much.
Well, you know, he's sending the message through the media instead of the locker room, like, this isn't cutting it.
Yeah, like, come on, guys. Well, I mean, what was interesting is for the lifetime of the franchise of the Nugs in game ones at home, they were 18-3. Straight up. So that's another reason why we liked them there. They had still, and then game two, they still hadn't lost at home, you know, for the whole playoffs. And then they take the L. So I think they kind of got hit in the face and let's get ready for them to ball. But that's not the best bet.
I heard Jimmy Jackson, you know, he's a commentator now, but he NBA guy for a long time.
Yep, for the Dallas Mavs.
Yeah, he was saying he, you know, he had some time in Miami, which I couldn't really remember him in Miami.
And he went to Ohio State for college.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 03 he said he was in Miami, and he was starting, getting a lot of run. He's like, Riley was our coach at the time.
Yeah.
And Spoelstra was like film guy then. But he's like, I was a free agent that summer and would still go back to Dallas in the offseason. He's like, everyone talks about the Heat culture and how they run things. Like, the big part of it's obviously Pat, and then the owner just lets the guys that are in charge run it. But he said, Pat gave me the call as the free agent and was like, look, you know, love having you. Know you're the free agent. But he's like, we're drafting a couple of young guys here. Want to give them some run. He goes, probably best if you just found somewhere where you can still start. You know, I know you got some left to your career. He's like, dude, appreciate the call, Pat. He's like, you know, if you want to come back and have like a bench role, there's always a spot here for you too. You know, you're welcome to come here, but I'm just letting you know, go find a starting role, maybe get some more chips somewhere else if you can.
Yeah.
He goes, such a stud. You know, they're just honest and upfront with everybody. There's what people like, the players really like. He goes, they drafted Dwayne Wade and Caron Butler were the two dudes. So he's like, I probably made the better call to not go back there.
Right. Especially with D Wader.
Right.
Yeah, well, and then of course Riley had his success at the Lake Show before. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, they respect you, but I think that's like kind of what Bob Myers did with the Warriors for the 12 years was the relationships and the honesty with the guys. There's none of this behind the scenes kind of backstabbing and trading. I think they tell you what's going to happen if they're going to do it.
Yeah, people appreciate honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I know. The Heat, I think this will be, I mean, I'm really curious to see what happens here. Like, of course, the Heat are at home. People are going to be juiced. One thing to factor in out there, ladies and gentlemen, is remember the Heat, they went straight from Boston, as you brought to our attention, into Denver, right? So they haven't been home in like a week and a half. Okay, so typically you think, oh, wow, this is great for them. But guess what? Think of it this way. My experience doing this and doing it, following it throughout several sports is actually when the players go home after a long time being gone from their house, there's actually a huge letdown. And I'm sure people can imagine and appreciate this because once you get home, the lady goes, let's start with the trash. Here's the kids. Let's get your ass in gear here.
That's what I told you at the member guest golf tourney. We had a little lull there. You know, some people went home and showered and then would come back up. I'm like, dude, I'm just kicking it here the whole day. Like, afternoon wave to the evening. Like, if I go home, you're kind of stuck.
Right. Yeah, you are.
Let's enjoy the time here. So my guys enjoy their time on the road, too.
Yep. And so now they have to get back. So it's kind of like a little bit of a distraction. So you might see a little lull here for them. And so it'll be interesting to see that.
I mean, dude, these guys are used to being on the road year in and year out.
I'm just telling you, guy, listen, I'm telling you from a betting perspective that when teams are on the road for a long time and they come home, they usually are a little flat. That's all I'm saying.
My boy Jimmy goes, hey, I'm getting the hotel room. Leave me alone here for another week.
Well, he needs to. Big Jim needs to. I mean, you had a solid point that obviously he's the focal point, so they're trying to take him away and stuff. but you know, he needs to.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with 21. You know, I think Bam and him both had 21. It's just not like, it's not the 42. So well, people aren't like, whoa.
I get it. So, I mean, what were they calling him? I think I was using the same name.
Playoff Jimmy.
I think I was using the same name at the golf tournament, like big timer.
Himmy Buckets?
No, like we're just, I was just big time. I just, when it's time to show up, I show up. That's like Jimmy, but it might have been a little premature for the nickname for Jim.
No.
Yeah, they're like, oh, when the playoff starts, Jimmy really gets going. I mean, he plays well, but come on.
Well, you also need someone to kind of just point to as like the main dude because they're having such a good run here.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's
who,
true.
But who Bam,
Bam's balling.
Somewhat.
Well, I mean, he is, dude. I think, you know, the guys that are knocking down the three balls, of course, is huge. But, I mean, Bam's like, he's holding fort down in the middle. It just seems like when I watch the game, he seems like the guy that's like the difference maker for the Heat right now. Like, put it this way, if you take that guy out of the lineup, they're toast.
Toast. Yeah. Well, you got no one to kind of get the long arms up and D up.
Well, I'm just, and you know, he's the guy that's grabbing the rebounds, dipping it down low, getting the crowd rocking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you pulled him out, seriously, in my opinion, he'd be the last guy you'd want to pull out if you're the coach.
Yeah, they don't really have much, like a big dude to throw down there on Jokic if you take him out.
Dude, Kevin Love? I mean, come on.
The gray hair's kicking.
I was thinking that too. Like, get the chippers and get the dye going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone needs to have a chit with him about that.
He likes it.
You know, there's people like Thunder Dan Marley, who used to go to the tanning salon before the games.
Right.
You know, Dan knew what was up.
What do you think if, I mean, they keep throwing Hero's name out there, like he might join this party here.
Dude, how long have we been hearing that, right?
Well, they kept saying the finals, but it's like, yeah, if it's not on this homestand, what are you waiting for, game five?
Well, and then also, like, is he really going to do better than the guys that are, you know, in his position right now? Probably not, and he's actually more of a defensive liability than those guys, too.
I mean, I don't know if Duncan and those guys are really stopping people. But
well, I'm not saying Duncan. I'm talking about Max and Caleb Martin and stuff.
Gabe Vincent's been playing great.
Yeah, I know. These guys are all stepping up.
Yeah, Gabe and Caleb have really stepped their, you know, just kind of their reputations up, getting some more coin here out of this performance.
Right. Oop, I'm getting something here in my earpiece from the producer. He goes, it's time for the best bet.
Mm.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, so one thing that's happened that I've noticed in this series is the pace of play has slowed way down. And the reason for that is I don't think the Heat want to get into a running match with the Nugs. The Nugs would love to run and gun. The Heat go, let's slow this down. Let's go possession by possession. And so they're getting way less possessions than normal, both teams. And the over-under last game was the same as this one, 215, and it got to 219. And we were just talking about how the Heat had to hit 49%. Both the teams combined were 88% from the free throw line. You know where I'm going with this one.
If they don't call you Mr. Under for nothing.
They're going to slow things down, and we're going to take the under in Big Miami for game three. Best better.
Yeah, I mean, I think typically with playoff basketball, that's what it's kind of known for. It's like you have these long series where they get a grind on the film and they start to know each other way better. It's not like as fast paced and easy buckets. It's playoff basketball. It's a little harder grind to score.
Right. And guys are like playing harder defense too.
Yeah, they're into the games. They're like, let's do it here.
But, you know, you just can't always default to the unders because they, you know, obviously the books know this the same thing. Like, we're not smarter than those guys in that sense. But they say, so they drop the lines. I mean, 215 is nothing compared to these playoffs. You know, like the beginning of the series, some of them were in the 230s and stuff. So they know what's going on, too. But even then, like, this pace is, you know, extremely slow. Like, it's slower than, you know, what most people thought. That's the Heat are really like, hey, dude, let's slow this bad boy down.
Yeah, I was going to say that's more for the Heat's advantage.
And then, you know, the Heat's at home. So, you know, they're more than likely to dictate their pace because they're at home. So we like the under 215.
Yeah, you go back like 15 years or so, like if both teams combined for 215, that was like high scoring back then.
Oh, dude, big time. Like the score used to be 93-91.
Yeah, and then when they'd get around the hundo, you know, it was like, okay, we get over 100 and we win. It was like the free Taco Bell with your ticket stub.
Well, that's before they called every little tic-tac foul.
Yeah, the hand-checking and all that.
And so now these guys go to the free throw line, and, you know, we talked about that before. They knock them down. They're like, when these guys go to the free throw line, it's pretty much automatic. Even, like, you know, even the Joker's legit at them.
And Bam's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, and then you take your two big guys.
And Aaron Gordon stepped it up in the playoffs for his free throws, at least, you know, some of the time. But, yeah, they're not doing these crap. I mean, you used to have to, like, get a bloody nose for the refs to call foul back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of this guys need to toughen up a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they'll address that flop stuff.
I'll give you an example of how the younger generation. So today at basketball camp, they had the high school players play knockout. You know, and knockout's a game where, you know, the guy in front of you shoots and you shoot behind him, and if you make it, you know, first, then he's out anyway. So the kids were all cheering, and at the end, the guy that wins it, the high school player, his high school teammates go batshit and, like, start jumping all over him, cheering. And I look at one of our buddies, another one of the dads, I go, dude, there's no way back in our day we'd be going that crazy for winning a knockout game in front of, you know, elementary kids. We would have been like, hey, nice job. All right, next drill. And these guys literally looked like they won the NBA championship.
They weren't doing it to hype the kids up for camp?
No. There's no way they're that good actors. And I'm just like, I look at my bud and I go, yep, that's the soft generation right there, bud.
Was one of them filming it on the sideline to post it?
Well, that's what our buddy said. Good call. He's like, dude, someone's probably filming it and they want to get on the Instagram. And I'm like, that's true too. Everyone trying to get on the big YouTube or Instagram,
right?
Or TikTok and whatever all those other garb ones are.
Hmm. Well, it should be fun to watch.
Yep. So we're leaning with the Nugs minus the 2.5. The best bet, under 215. And let's see, the game is tomorrow, Wednesday, and then is the next one not? Next one's probably not till Saturday again.
It might be Friday.
No. It's definitely not Friday. I was going to say it's either Sunday or Saturday, but I think it's Saturday.
Oh, yeah. They can't go Wednesday, Sunday. I bet it's Saturday then.
Yeah. I mean, that's already long enough. Jiminy Christmas.
If it's the only show in town, like, I mean, I'm sure they don't prefer the Friday nights.
Oh, you know what? I take that back. You're right. It is the Friday night.
Yeah.
But listen how garbage this is. They don't even have it on the weekend. It goes Wednesday, Friday, and then Monday.
Yeah.
Wow. That's weird. Okay. And then Thursday, Sunday, if it's needed.
I don't think we're going 7.
No, I don't think so either.
Maybe 6.
Yeah, no, that could happen. Yeah. But the Nugs should get one of these. Let's just say, let's put that out there too. If the Nugs don't win number 3, fire away on number 4 then. Because they're going to get one of these.
Oh, yeah, for sure on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have a nice little 6-game series here. Take us right into the U.S. Open golf tourney next week. Oh,
okay. So, and should we let the listeners know that we'll be able to provide a little, will we do the same? Will we do the finals and the U.S. Open?
Probably. I think, well, it depends on where this thing stands. But I think, well, I think we can have time for one more hoop, one combined with the U.S. Open golf.
Yeah, we'll be able to talk a little PGA and LIV joining forces.
Merger.
Awesome. Well, that's it for me, big guy.
Yep, I'm with you. Looking forward to tomorrow's game. Let's get this bad boy kicked off. But don't forget Instagram and Twitter. It's at Bolt Brady Picks, and current information will be there about the games coming up. We will catch you guys next time.
See ya.